Welcome to the SEI Podcast Series, a production of the Carnegie Mellon University Software Engineering Institute. The SEI is a federally funded research and development center sponsored by the U.S. Department of Defense. A transcript of today's podcast is posted on the SEI website at sei.cmu.edu/podcasts.
My name is Suzanne Miller. I'm a principal researcher here at the SEI and the Agile and Government Group, and I'm very pleased to introduce to you again, they've been here before, Tim Schimmel, Timur Snoke. They're going to tell us today about best practices in network traffic analysis. So for those that have not met you before with us, could you give us a little bit of background as to how you both got into this sort of best practices thing? Because that's a thing. And what drew you to doing that, that kind of work?
Well, I started out as an academic, a professor working for the Navy out in Monterey, California, which is as pleasant
as a good
as
a duty
say.
As you can get.
Yeah. And then I really became interested in network security when I was kind of a sideline again on the Morris Worm incident.
Ah.
I actually had an administrator rush into my office. And that started me being interested in tracking down network problems and network issues, particularly human-caused ones. And that eventually led me here to the SEI, and I decided to shift out here and swap Monterey for Pittsburgh, which I've never regretted except in February. And been an active member of the group for the last 20 years. And a lot of that experience helps has been with working with departments and agencies and companies and special events. And over that time, a lot of the common practices have kind of emerged, and some of the best of breed have filtered to the top.
If you see enough problems, you start to build, here's the common solution pattern for this.
Yeah.
And so you and I are of an age where,
principles emerge,
Yeah, cool. Timur.
Yeah, so I kind of started in the trenches. First as a high school teacher in a classroom with a bunch of computers that didn't work, and then ending up working for consultants and in a variety of different industries. And I saw that there were common problems across all the different places that I went to, but there wasn't really a unified vision as to how we solve them. A lot of vendors have their own solutions, but they didn't have kind of vendor agnostic solutions that explained why we do what we do. And when I ended up here, the ball started rolling in a positive direction.
So I've done best practices work in process improvement, some of those areas. In the network analysis area, what are some of the things that distinguish best practice from almost good enough and from, oh, please don't do that?
Right.
You know, how can you characterize best practices?
Or even aspirational practices.
Aspirational practices is another one,
There's a limit to how much you really want to do and how much you really want to invest in it because as most businesses will recognize, their network is not a profit center. It doesn't earn revenue for the organization. And so the money that you spend on defending the network is really money that you're taking away from something else.
Gotcha.
So you have to be intelligent about how you're spending your money and try to get the biggest return on your investment. And that's where I think the best practices.
So really the best practices are the ones that you can identify what's the return on investment if we do this, or what's the risk if you don't do this? Because that's the other side of this, is if we don't do those things, then we run risks that may be sort of out of bed with how much it costs to defend against them, right? That's the thing you're trying to mitigate.
But without competing against the activities that support your profit centers.
Gotcha.
You need to, you know, it's easy to degrade, to forbid things which you need just because they're risky.
Yep. And we've got that eternal conflict between usability and security that is one that the usability is one of the things that accelerates our ability to deliver a capability profit center, and the security is often the slowing down of our ability to deliver that.
In terms of network traffic, you know, one very common question becomes, okay, do we encrypt the traffic on our network?
Okay.
If we encrypt the traffic on the network, it's improving the data security because it's got a lot more privacy associated with it, particularly if we go with end-to-end. On the other hand, if you're looking to see whether or not Joe is emailing out the company secrets and the traffic stream's encrypted, you don't have that capability.
So sometimes things you think are best practices might be best practice for one vulnerability, mm-hmm. but may actually reduce your ability to address some other kind of vulnerability. So there's that sort of multi-layered aspect as well.
Yeah,
absolutely. I would also add that I think that it's important to recognize that although we're talking about network security best practices, really the overarching goal is to defend whatever the mission is of the mm-hmm. applications that are running on the network.
Right.
And so although we could secure everything in every dimension, we end up with a bunch of machines that can't talk to each other. Mm-hmm. And the things that we are supposed to do, we are unable to do.
Right.
And so we have to weigh all of that.
So when you express best practices, how do you help analysts understand some of that context?
Part of it is expressing things in terms of trade-offs. So you get into a dialogue with the analysts. Look, this is what you want to do. But there's this other side about it. So are we trading off this to that? Are we spending the time analyzing the network traffic rather than spending the time extending the network, dealing with things like that? Are we, when we're deploying things like network firewalls, mm-hmm. to what degree does that segmentation of the network make things more complicated to support integrated applications, for example?
Right. And how does it reduce the flow of data that is needed in a timely fashion, whatever that timely
aspect is? And often this is very key with respect to traffic analysis, because what analysis you're able to do depends on the infrastructure of your network and the architecture of your network, where you're able to see the traffic, where you're able to make sense of the traffic.
So that is really a key component to all the best practices, is understanding what it is that you're defending. Mm-hmm. Understanding what the perimeter looks like. You know, where are the gaps in defenses, where are the gaps in security, and where are the gaps in your understanding about how the applications work on the network.
Understand also, I hate to put it this way, understand what you're looking for. I have seen analysts that spend their time looking at DNS data, mm-hmm. not because DNS is particularly key to their application, but because the analyst just happens to be interested in abuses of DNS, and he's hunting to see whether there's any abuses of DNS occurring with his organization.
So but that may not contribute to their mission in a way.
It doesn't contribute to the mission. It doesn't reduce their risk. Yeah. It doesn't give you more awareness of the organization. He's just hunting for weird little artifacts in the DNS queries and responses.
Right.
Do you really need somebody to do that? The obvious answer is probably not. Yeah. Instead, you want to focus the analyst and say, look, this is what we're really concerned about. You're interested in DNS. Wonderful. We want to see whether or not any of these particular domains or any significant shift in resolutions is occurring.
Right.
Those are things we really want to track, but not these weird little artifacts that is there any voice over DNS occurring? May not be relevant to us.
Right, depending on the context. So so context is everything, just mm-hmm. like every other aspect of technology. And it also sounds like there's a need for an understanding between the business element of the business, the mission element of the business, and the technology element of the business. So the example you gave, the guy looking at the DNS stuff, probably hasn't been connected enough to the business to really understand what it is that gives value back to them in terms of network analysis. So how are you dealing with that translation between the things you would tell a technical analyst and the things you would say to the business people that are essentially paying for this, these best practices to be implemented?
So interestingly enough, this all boils down to communications, right? Yep. So we're talking about network traffic analysis, and the really integral part of it is having effective communications, so the institutional knowledge of the business owners can be translated into actionable intelligence that the network defenders can use to support the business owner's mission.
So how are we doing? How are we making that happen? I guess what I'm looking at is, what are the mechanisms that you guys are using to make sure that that communication occurs, not just that we publish another set of best practices?
Right.
Well, we focus on awareness mm-hmm. rather than on incident response or security.
Right.
And the aspect of awareness is an understanding of, okay, what knowledge do your decision makers need to do in order to make appropriate security decisions for your organization?
Right.
And how do we derive that knowledge from the network? That's where network situational awareness comes in.
Perfect.
A classical model of situational awareness is, how do you perceive now?
Mm-hmm.
How do you understand where things are shifting towards, and where do you predict things are going to shift into the future? So looking at things in that way tends to put it in a perspective, in a technical perspective.
Yeah.
But where things are now, the key parts of where things are now are business things.
Right.
You know, are you protecting engineering? Are you protecting finance? Are you protecting HR? Are you protecting
parts logistics?
Parts logistics.
Yeah.
Are you protecting contracting? You know, those are key business functions that every business needs to have in order to survive.
Right.
And if you don't protect those, doesn't matter how good you are at protecting the router.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the router is important. That provides connectivity, but it's not less important than getting paid.
Right. We'll all agree on that.
They're not more important than getting paid.
And it's important to identify security practices that support the nature of the business, because if flexibility is a key component in the business,
right,
coming up with a workflow that requires, you know, an extended period of time before executing a new application or something like that is going to be causing pain for the business.
Right.
And so, again, those trade-offs need to be identified, but understanding a good baseline and communicating what the current state is and maintaining awareness of how that's evolving and preparing for the big changes that are coming are all things that we have to pay attention to.
And I know some of us were in, we recently held our annual research review at the SEI, and an awful lot, I would say this review had more content related to Internet of Things and machine learning than I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. And that big shift is one where network traffic, I mean, there's a lot of situational awareness that's going to be affected, and having best practices in place so that you actually can start to look beyond the mechanical things, if I want to, you know, down in the weeds things, to some of the more situational things, more business things. I think that's going to become more and more important as we move forward with these things. So I'm a network traffic analyst, and I want to be better at doing my work. I want to use your best practices, but I also want to communicate with my management about them. Where do I go? What resources do we have to help somebody that actually wants to do this better to be able to improve their practices?
Well, one of the key resources that you have is, one, communicating with other analysts.
Mm-hmm.
And SEI does have your annual conference where analysts gather together and talk as analysts. It's a very geek-heavy, very nerd-heavy fest.
Yes, it is. My brother goes.
And it's called FlowCon.
Yep.
The next one will be in New Orleans in January, early January. And we're in the ramp-up to that right now.
Excellent.
The basic theme of this FlowCon is using data to defend.
Okay.
Particularly using data to defend large-scale networks.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a bunch of people there that have a lot of experience in pulling apart various sorts of data, not just network flow data, but log data, packet data, routing data, things like that. And you hear and talk with what works well for you. Well, what works well for us? Well, we ran into this kind of an issue. Well, we dealt with that kind of an issue by going this way. And being able to exchange practices and get a feel for how other people are doing it is a very, very big advantage to learning more.
And I'm guessing
for those
that's
coming
one of your
in
sources.
New, there are training, you know, for going on. One of the training that we're going to be doing is actually being taught by some people that are
sitting
probably should be more modest, but anyway.
World experts?
Yeah, whatever. but it's on thinking like an analyst.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So really getting into what is a model of network activity? What are some of the common thinking fallacies you fall into?
Mm-hmm.
And how do you defeat those fallacies? How do you deal with some of those kinds of concerns? And that's material that we introduced last FlowCon and have improved upon for this coming FlowCon.
Excellent.
And so that's moving forward there. In terms of analytical resources, there's also the forthcoming Silk Analyst Handbook.
Okay.
Which is really much more focused on the analysis process. So we're looking at analyzing things in terms of more or less a reactive model. Mm-hmm. You have an event, you want to understand what's going on around this event. It may be something where a piece of equipment failed. It may be you got hacked. It may be that there was an unexpected drop or boost in network traffic. How do you figure out what's going on specific there? How do I support a multi-threaded analysis approach where there are several different pools of data that may appeal there? I want to be able to analyze those in parallel and then integrate.
Right, and figure out which ones are the meaningful ones.
And how do I work in a more exploratory manner? Mm-hmm. And the key thing there is, where do you stop exploring and say this is the this is the conclusion? But you know, you're working in more iterative fashion of exploring, testing, defending on that. And the handbook really gets into that in some depth.
Nice.
Admittedly, it's 250 pages long, but it's if you as a resource for really digging into it with examples, that's a resource that's coming out very soon now.
All right.
We're still in the process of getting the final release approval, but it's coming out.
Sometimes it takes a while for that, and hopefully it's, we always say it's worth waiting for, so.
Sure.
So I'm also guessing that FloCon is one of the sources for some of your best practices from the viewpoint of being able to look at what kinds of conversations are going on, and everybody's talking about this. So, we don't have that in our list of best practices, but that's emerging. So I guess what I'm saying is I'm intuiting that this is not a static set of best practices. This set of best practices is meant to evolve and that it's meant to be updated. And so people shouldn't just look at it once and say, okay, I'm done now. It's something that we need to keep track of over time because the world changes.
And that in fact itself is a best practice. Yeah. You want to have some mechanism for keeping current.
Gotcha.
You want to know, okay, the kinds of technologies that we are fielding today are not the kind we fielded 10 years ago.
True.
10 years ago, the big question is, do we want to go wireless or not?
That's not really a question anymore.
The idea that we'd export things into the cloud and be doing cloud integration and supporting multi-cloud integration and those kinds of things are really, you know, something that wasn't on the radar 10 years ago and it's very current today.
Right.
The types of risks that we're facing. Okay, 10 years ago, the big risk was botnets. Okay, they have people that are herding together large numbers of compromised machines and focusing in on it. APT still hadn't even been composed 10 years ago as an acronym. And today it's a very concerning threat and a very impactful threat. The idea of spear phishing and whaling as attack methods have really emerged as a much more serious threat over the last decade. And
so that's going to continue.
Yeah.
So that, I mean, that's really the point is what happened in the last 10 years. We don't know what's going to happen in the next 10 years, but we know that we're going to have to evolve and that we're going to have to be responsive and be able to continue looking at these issues as they emerge. So we need communities like FloCon. We need people like yourselves that keep watching this part of the technology to see what are the new things. And we need people to respond and do things differently. So those are all, I think, things that that we want to make sure our listeners
And also, something like FloCon also gives you an opportunity to see what solutions work and what solutions are really kind of problematic. There's an awful lot of tendency to follow, ooh, there's a nice shiny thing, I want that. Rather than look at, okay, what does this really provide in terms of capability that my organization truly needs?
And benefit and risk, and what risks does bringing that technology in really mean for our defense. So both sides of that. So
just because something is popular or being much discussed does not mean it's universally needed.
Right.
And some of it comes with quite high price tags, both in terms of knowledge required by the users, and in terms of acquisition and fielding costs.
Right.
This is actually a really big component in the best practices, where the cost of maintaining the resources to support the acquisition of data for making decisions about defending the network. How much is enough? How much is too much? And do you really want to store and maintain that, and what kind of liability issues are you getting into as you start looking at collecting information on your network?
Right.
If you're a private enterprise or a publicly traded company, all kinds of things that we need to be aware of.
And many of those, again, are things we didn't think about as clearly 10 years ago. So we've got to evolve our way of looking at these things. So I'm going to suggest to our listeners that they stay in touch with you guys and watch for your blog post and watch for future podcasts. Look for you at FlowCon. I'm assuming you'll both be there since you will be teaching and New Orleans in January. Not quite Monterey, but, you know, it's not bad.
It's not bad.
It's not bad. So I want to thank you again for spending the time with me today to talk about this. I think this idea of understanding what's the balance of how much to invest in a best practice versus be aware of how it actually affects your business, that's a key element that it's easy to let go of if you really are just in the weeds of whether it's network traffic analysis or other kinds of data analysis. And so I think that message is one that everybody appreciates. So thank you again. FlowCon, go to flowcon.org. Is that correct? Is the website for that.
There FlowCon is also, without a W. FlowCon.
Yes. Yes. I automatically think of that now, but I know it's not automatic for everyone. And I also want to mention that you co-authored with Angela Horniman an SEI blog on this topic. So there is a blog post out there, and all of the resources we've talked about will be available in the transcript that goes along with this podcast. So I want to thank you both for joining us, and I want to thank our listeners for joining us as well.
Thank you, Suzanne.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for joining us. Links to resources mentioned in this podcast are available in our transcript. This podcast is available on the SEI website at sei.cmu.edu/podcasts and on Carnegie Mellon University's iTunes U site and the SEI's YouTube channel. As always, if you have any questions, please don't hesitate to email us at info@sei.cmu.edu. Thank you.